Well, welcome to the village, everybody. Let me quick do the announcements here. Number one, for those of you who don't know, Andrea? She's over here. She's having back surgery and is going to be down for the count. And she's two little kids, and Ryan works full time, and we all know the McCulley's children, Ian and Ellie, and they have special needs. So that's a lot of, you know, just Ian and his weight alone is enough for special needs. He's a big bruiser. And so anyway, they need some help. And so they asked if maybe while she was on her back, if you guys could bring some meals for them. And also they have two dates, December 8th and December 15th, where maybe they're both Saturdays, or you might pick up one or the other of their children in the morning just to give them a couple hours of break for like a play date with your kids. So if you can do that, sign up here, the dates for when to bring meals. And also on those meals, they'd love it if you brought them a meal and sat down and had dinner with them. So you don't have to drop the meal off and run away. They'd be happy if you ate the meal with them. They want to make sure it's not poisoned. So that's important to them. So please sign up for that. The second thing on the list here is if you're new with us, there's a place for you to sign up. If you want to have your child dedicated or you want to be baptized, there's a place for you to sign up. If you want to be part of either one of our Bible studies, there's a place to sign up for that. Now, here's the big thing. If you are a member at the village, you're somebody who said, hey, the village is where I belong, the new volunteer sign-up sheet is here. Your opportunity to sign your name up for volunteering all the way into, like, the summer. This is your grand opportunity to schedule when you volunteer. Usually we ask people who belong to the village to volunteer for something in the nursery or kid vespers or mid-kids at least 4 to 5 times over the next, 8 months. What's that? Over the next page, yes. 4 to 5 times on this page here, right here. You'll notice that we added an extra slot now for kid vespers because it's like tripled in size. So anyway, if you don't sign up for your 5 times, and this sounds really horrible, but it's not, I'll come stand next to you with this thing and just say, kind of like those birds in Nemo, and just keep saying, sign, 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 sign. So please, you know, don't put me in that embarrassing slot and have to say that to you. Sign. Yes, basically. So there's that. And then I got one other thing. If you are going to the prayer retreat, right in here in this folder is the information you need. I am going to stick it here. It's very detailed as to where and how to get there and what's going to happen and all that good stuff. So I'll give that to you, April. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, thank you for this community. Thank you for this great Thanksgiving week. Lord, we come here tonight, as Mark was saying, just in a lot of different places. Some of us don't actually believe you exist. Others of us are not even sure how to relate to you. Some of us have really good relationships with you, and we're excited to be here. We're all over the spectrum, but we do come, and when we come here to worship, that means that we're interested, we want to engage with you. So, Jesus, we ask that you would send your Spirit, and we know, Spirit, you're here, to give us courage and to believe, give us courage to believe what's true, to be willing to listen, to put aside our differences or the things that cloud our vision. Just give us courage as we listen and as we sing and as we talk and eat together. And I ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So tonight, my friends, we are still in our series on the village, but nearing the end. And tonight we're talking about creativity. So we've been in a 14-week series on the village. And so basically the reason we did this, a lot of you are new and others of you just don't remember what we're about and need to remember. It's always good to continually talk about who we are. So we started out with the gospel. And we talked about how the gospel is story, Jesus' story, how that story gives us identity, how when we embrace the story of Jesus and identity, then we have this wonderful life with Jesus in the kingdom. We talked about how culture has 6 different ways of being. All cultures basically have a way of telling stories, a way of listening, a way of eating together, a way of celebrating and blessing and resting together. And so we talked about how, what does it look like for a community to embrace each one of those and bring Jesus into them? And then what we started on in the last few weeks is what our values are. Because at the Village, we're not necessarily, I mean, we are a theologically driven church in the sense that we are build our life around the Bible, but we build our life around a value system that helps us understand who we are, okay? And so for our belief system, we usually do the Apostles' Creed. This week we did the Lord's Prayer, but what we believe and what we stand on and don't debate is the Apostles' Creed, what it says. I believe in God the Father Almighty, right? It goes down these beliefs that we believe. And so when we think about our values, it's kind of what we look through to understand what we're doing. So if we're going to do a Bible study, we ask the question, is it creative? Is it going to push us towards community or out of community? Is it authentic? Is it accessible? We ask these questions. Now, if we think about the values of the Village, the first one is truth. It's really the highest value. And because truth, what we say here, the Village, truth is really embodied in Jesus. That for you and I to understand what is true, we have to be in relationship with Jesus. You can't understand truth or what reality is unless you're in relationship with Jesus, is what the Village says. So we have to first get our relationship with Jesus straight. But the second value is the disciplines. And to be a disciple is to be someone who does what Jesus wants us to do in a disciplined way, chooses to act in a certain way. So when we say we value the disciplines, what we're saying is we value discipleship. We value doing what Jesus wants us to do. So then the next four values fit under that. They're really actually disciplines. So we practice here the discipline of community. We intentionally push ourselves together, even though we're not always, you know, we don't have a lot in common, actually, a lot of us. We come from a lot of different places, but we push ourselves together because we believe we can find out who Jesus is in community. We believe that our community is to be accessible, right? We talked about this last week, about how community has to be a place where we as people are not creating a stumbling block to those who don't know Jesus and to the poor. That we as a community have to be that. We have to look at what we're doing and think about it and be disciplined to make choices that allow Jesus to be the point and not our ideas or ways of doing things. The other value is authenticity, which is Rod's going to cover next week. And this week, we're going to talk about creativity. That we value the discipline of creativity. Okay, now that seems kind of odd, but it's not really. It's because I believe that to be creative is to be human. To be creative is to be human. And when we define creativity, we're talking about when you and I innovate or create new things that have value, right? When we are innovating and creating new things that have value. That's what creativity is. Now, when I say being creative is innately human, and it's what makes us human, I want to go to Genesis chapter 1, and you don't need to turn there, but we have been spending a lot of time in Genesis because a lot of our values come out of Genesis, where everything started. But I want to read to you Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and I've already read this before, but this is just about the creation of humanity. Perfect music for this reading. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock, over all the earth and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Here's the thing. You and I are image bearers of God. That's a really, really important thing. To be an image bearer of God, let me kind of explain it this way. In Greco-Roman history, or in Roman Empire, Caesar would stick his statue everywhere, right? We see them in museums. You know why he stuck his statue there? Is he wanted to remind all of the people who's in charge. Caesar, right? That is his image, and so he put his image everywhere. When you and I are image bearers of God, part of it is that you and I are God's representatives. says that God created us and then we are to rule over things. We become God's representative to the planet, to the animals, but more importantly, you and I become God's representatives to each other. So when I look at you, you as an image bearer, not just your emotions, not just your soul, but your physicality is a representation of God. I am to be reminded by looking at you that God is in charge and God created. Okay? Now, let me jump backwards here to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and I want you to listen to the beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. So here's the difference. It says that God created, and this is the difference between you and God. God created out of nothing. There was nothing, and God created. You and I then take God's resources and recreate. Okay? But if we're image bearers, and God created the universe, and God created you, then part of being human is to be creative. It's important to understand. Now, Einstein says that creativity is simply being able to hide your sources really well. Right? But I don't think that's true. Creativity is actually to reveal God as the source really well. Okay? But here's the thing. You and I, to bear God's image, have to be creative. When you and I back away from creativity, we're not human. Okay? Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul wrote Ephesians to the Ephesians. This is a letter. Listen to what he says about you and I. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, what God, this workmanship thing, you, when you go look in the mirror, when you experience an event, when you are you, you are God's workmanship. Now, in the New Testament, what Paul is talking about is he says, you're God's workmanship in Jesus. So if you decide to be a follower of Jesus, there's this thing that happens. You're reborn in Jesus, right? That's when you hear born again, that idea of being born again. So what the writer is saying is, God has created you in Jesus as a really good work. So when you decide to follow Jesus, the way that God created you is beginning to be revealed. Okay? And it says then, when you decide to follow Jesus, you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So a creative God created you, and if you look around, God's really creative because we're all different sizes, shapes, smiles, different hair color, different hair type. You know, we have a lot of think differently. You are God's creativity, and God laid out creative things for you to do. I do not think that God laid out bland things for you to do. Everything that God put in front of you is something creative. Okay? Here's why I think that. Let's jump to, and you can just kind of enjoy this, but I'm going to jump to Colossians chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. You can write it down if you want. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. This word, all your heart, is like with every little bit of you, your whole soul, the thing that makes you. Okay? So if a creative God created you, laid out works for you, and he wants all that he created to go into what you do. all of what he created to go in to you. So the exciting thing is, and the reason we value creativity is, I really believe, and this is my thing, but I believe that being human is being creative. It's approaching everything in your life creatively. It makes you a better parent. It makes you a better husband and wife. It makes you a better friend. It makes you a better teacher. You show people who Jesus is when you engage everything you do creatively, okay? Because it's infused in you. It's the way, and one of the major ways that you bear God's image. Let me quickly turn to, Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 17. This is God talking about the future city that you and I will live in, that God with God. Verse 17 of Isaiah 65 says, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more." The writer of Isaiah, the writer, is saying there's this time when Jesus comes back, when the city of God comes, when all the old things are gone, when you and I don't remember what it's like to live here anymore, even though it'll all be recreated. We just don't remember it because God is so creative, and we will be so excited about this city and what God has created that we will be worshiping God and God will be rejoicing. Now, right now we don't live in that city, but the idea still is there that you and I, when we engage God creatively, when we engage our life creatively, we're actually calling people to worship. We're calling people to follow Jesus. Now, there's a thing with art and creativity is that we as broken people have messed it up, and so we worship the idol and the thing that we've created, and we've forgotten that it's not pointing to us, it's supposed to be pointing to God. But the point of approaching life creatively is to draw people to Jesus and to celebrate and worship God. I'm just going to tell you this story, and you can check it out in Samuel. I think it's in Second Samuel chapter 6. It's a story about David, the king. And David is about to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And he's so excited that he strips down with all the people, and so he's down in his underwear, basically, and he's dancing like crazy. He is just rejoicing that God has come into Jerusalem. And of course, one of his wives, who was Saul's daughter, is embarrassed by him. This display of unbridled emotion makes her feel uncomfortable. And so she kind of despises him. But David is a good example of what it looks like to creatively worship God. Part of being creative is being spontaneous. Okay. So you're like, all right, great, Eric. That's awesome. God created us to be creative, and that's wonderful. You know, we reflect God. We're not so sure what you're talking about. Well, let me just give you some practical ways to be creative. Because here's the thing. In our culture, a lot of us think that being creative means that we are we're supposed to be artists, right? We're also, you know, that's what I'm saying, is you all need to be artists now, because that's what creativity is, right? Because that's what our culture says. Oh, the creatives, they paint, they draw, they dance, they do all these things. No, they are creative, but all of us are, and I want to give you 11 principles of what a creative person is. You are this, and what the calling then is for you to work on it and to begin to discipline yourself to be creative, because I believe if you begin to embrace these things, it will transform the way you parent, it'll transform the way you love your spouse, it will transform the way that you engage in community. It will change you, because it will connect you to Jesus, and this is the way that Jesus created you to be. So, number one is that creative people have courage. Creative people are willing to take risks. We live in a culture where there are two kinds of people. There are the stupid people and the safe people, right? With the stupid people who, you know, it says, do not jump off this cliff, that means they're going to jump off the cliff. Now, if you jumped off a cliff, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to disparage you, Daniel. That particular cliff did not have do not jump on it. Okay, so we're okay with that. For those of you who know, the guy in the back brace there, he was following the safety precautions when he fell off the cliff. But you see this in our culture. We have extreme sports, or we have risk-averse people. Like, we don't take any risks at all. We're terrified of something bad happening. But if you're a creative person, then what you're willing to do is take risks. And it means that when you're looking at your children and there's a situation where things are stressful to you because they're a teenager who's going the wrong direction, or they're little kids who won't obey and eat the food they're supposed to eat, or they just won't listen, or they talk back, or it's a wife who just seems unemotionally connected to you, part of being a creative person is taking a risk. Asking yourself, how can I risk in relationship, in action with these people or in this situation? Being willing to take a risk to engage. Number two, intuition. Creative people actually make decisions a lot of times based on their gut. Okay? Based on that initial feeling that they have about things. Here's a good example. How many of you know what the Drudge Report is? A few of you know what the Drudge Report is. The Drudge Report is basically a website with a lot of news on it. But when he created his website, it's one of the most popular websites on the internet. But when he created his website, people said, you need to have a flashy website. You need to have a website that's going to really draw people in by all the little bells and whistles. And what Drudge, the guy who put the report together, felt like is he needed one that had lots of information and was really simple. And that's what he knew he would enjoy, so he went with his gut, and he decided to do that instead. And what happened, it resonated with a lot of people. That his initial feeling. Now, I'm not saying that all of you should go with your initial feeling. A lot of you know, don't go with your initial feeling, right? But as a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is always speaking. And when you're called to make a decision, when you're parenting, when you're dealing with your wife, when you're in a roommate situation, when you're at work trying to decide if you even want to do this job, the Holy Spirit is constantly talking to you. And you have all these other voices talking to you. But there's a moment in your gut where you're like, I know this is the right thing to do. I know that this is what God wants me to do. And then it goes away. But creative people, really, a better way of saying, instead of having intuition, creative people listen to the Holy Spirit. And I want to stop there. I read an article recently that this person wanted to find out what kind of linked all creative people. So they did a bunch of research and read through a bunch of stuff old dead authors had written or artists had written, and then he interviewed 10 of his favorite creative people. And the one thing that came up all through his research was that solitude and being alone was the key to being creative. To having time alone. If you want your gut to speak loudly to you, you need to push out the noise. If you want to listen to the Holy Spirit, you have to push the noise out. You know, a lot of us are pretty committed to not being alone, actually. We make a lot of excuses. Our kids, we work too much, we're too tired, there's not enough time. We have a lot of excuses. But if you want to hear the Spirit, you need to be alone. It's the key to being creative. Number three, creative people play. They have fun. Not veg out. They have fun. Creative people, that would be all of us, actually play like kids. Right? Have you ever seen kids play? My favorite thing to watch with a kid, especially the little tiny ones, is they go out there and they get their big sword that's laying out in my backyard, or the guns that are twice their size, and they're like carrying them around, and they're dragging them, and they're trying to swing them at each other, but they're only this big, and the sword's like this big. But they're just, and they're laughing and they're giggling. They're just free. Now you and I, they're like David. They're willing to let go a little bit, right? And just enjoy themselves and be fun and silly. I think we live in a world now where we feel really stressed out. So instead of choosing to play, we choose to veg. We watch TV, we watch movies, we play video games, we take really way too long naps because we don't want to pay attention to the world. Instead of making the creative choice to just be silly, to just push the stress away, to just giggle, to run around, to laugh, to have fun, to be silly. Part of being creative is being silly. Number four. Part of being creative is having expression, having emotion. We need to be, if you're going to be a creative person, you have to choose to express, right? This happens in marriages with husbands. I just saw a commercial, one of the clothing stores where it's talking about how men are strong and silent and don't say anything, but you can dress them the way you'd like them to be, you know, or something like that. But the whole point was that men don't talk and men don't express, and all the commercial constantly had this woman talking at this man, right? And he's just smiling in his really neat suit, you know, shaking his head up and down. So men, part of being creative is actually expressing. What's the major complaint usually from women is that men don't talk, they don't express, they don't emote, right? They're not creative. So, but part of being creative is willing to express, to let loose, to remove some of the social boundaries that we have. You know, and a lot of us here have a lot of boundaries. Like we don't, you know, unless for Emily, we're unwilling to really scream out here in the sanctuary, just be like, yeah, right? To let it go a little bit, to express, to let go, because we're afraid of what people think, or it just feels really awkward or embarrassing or... But again, it's opening us to who we're really created to be. Now, just to pause here, the reason that we would be doing these things is because as we do them, we are connecting ourselves to Jesus, but we're also pointing other people to Jesus. When we're willing to engage in a creative way, the world around us, we begin to point towards Jesus. Number five, creative people find order, or they're critical thinkers. We live in a day and age where colleges have to teach critical thinking. I took critical thinking, the actual class. It was like a psychology class to teach me to think critically, right? But creative people love chaos. For a creative person, that would be all of us, represents an opportunity to imitate God and bring order, right? God had this chaotic place where it says it was formless and void, and God spoke into it in light and darkness, and he divided it out, and he made day and night. He created order. A lot of us in this culture, when chaos hits us, we end up really scared. And when I talk to most of you, I realize that a lot of what I do when I sit with you is I help you critical think about your life. Because a lot of us, including me, when there's chaos, we're like, I don't know what to do. And yet God says, no, I created in chaos and I created order. This is actually an opportunity for you to imitate me and speak into chaos, which means you have to step back. When you experience chaos in your life, you need to say, oh, this is an opportunity for me to reflect Jesus and be creative in my situation, so I'm going to step back, I'm going to start thinking about it. You know, but here's the thing about creativity means that you have to do it wholeheartedly because it's a work that's put out in front of you. So, yeah, you know, kids, little kids, they create chaos. Relationships where there's not a lot of talking creates chaos. Jobs where your boss is mean creates chaos, right? And a lot of times we back away from that, but God's like, no, 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 step back, get some silent time, and then engage critically because this is what I've created you to be. Number six, creative people are internally motivated. Here's the thing. You and I often are motivated by our paycheck or external motivators, right? By the, what's the reward? But creative people are motivated by the task itself, by Jesus himself. So we, creative people, are motivated by the fact that God has laid out some work for us. So when you're facing, you know, situations in your family, or when you're facing situations outside of your family where you need to be motivated, and you look at your children and they're like going crazy, the motivation shouldn't be, I'd like them to stop being crazy because my life will be easier. Right? Your motivation should be, Jesus loves me, I love them, I'm motivated to see them love Jesus and be obedient. I'm motivated by, but that takes some discipline, that takes some energy, that means I have to engage. Being creative means a lot of times I've got to engage with my world. And that does make me vulnerable. Number 7, I'll make it through these, we're going. Making connections. I love this about some of you at the Village. One of your favorite things to do is make connections. You look at all the different things that are going on and you start saying, oh, look at over here. A fits to C over here, and we put this together. You're really good at listening to people's stories and saying, wow, look, God was over here and he's transforming this. Creative people believe that God is acting all the time and in everybody's life, and that everyone is interconnected, and that their job is to actually connect it all. The part of being creative is making connections by showing people, like, this is where God's showing up here, and this is where God's showing. Isn't this amazing? Like, it what it does is helps you begin to see the world outside of yourself. There is a famous art critic who was teaching factory workers to draw. And he was asked, why are you teaching factory workers to draw? And he said, I'm not teaching them to draw. None of them are going to become artists. I'm teaching them to see. Right? Teaching them to see. Part of being creative, and here's why I would argue that even though creativity doesn't mean painting and drawing, and that's the only people who are creative, you, even if you never paint a picture, or if you never sell a painting, you ought to paint a picture. You ought to, and don't imitate somebody, go out and paint something or make up a new dance or write a new song. Because what it does is it begins to connect you to what God did. And make it helps you understand it's not all about you. You're beginning to speak about the things of the world and point out to people the different connections. Number 8. This is, I think the Village already has this one down pretty good, but challenging assumptions, right? So hopefully, if you're all being creative, you're listening to me, and you're like, okay, Eric, that's nice, but I only think 2 of those are really true, and I can kind of take some of the things that you said, and I'm going to modify them here, and then I'm going to come up with a whole new thing that creative people are, right? I hope that you're not taking it hook, line, and sinker, right? If you're a creative person, you're like, okay, Eric, you have a lot of assumptions about what creative people are. And you're challenging me in your mind. I hope so. That would mean that you've got that down pretty good. But when we challenge assumptions, what it means is we're not robots. We think for ourselves. We are wrestling with what's going on in our world. And that engages our brain. And hopefully then that means it engages a dialogue with Jesus. Number